Get it.
No,
pray,
I know
pray for Dick. Pray for Dick.
Yeah.
No.
No. That's why I sit on the front row, because whoever's closest gets up here first. Here's something new since last night. There's a little price ticket. It says $8, and it was on the pulpit. If you want to buy the pulpit, it's $8. I tell you, everything at Skyland is for sale. I made the remark one time that I didn't know who it was going to run the thermostat in heaven, but I sure hope it wasn't going to be me. And a brother who heard me, sat me down and gave me a 15 or 20 minute dissertation on the fact that there aren't going to be any thermostats in heaven. And he had scripture, and he quoted one scripture after another, and the brother had made a real study of it. And it was an amazing thing that he said, well, we read that the Lord's going to be the light of it, and so from light you get heat and all these sorts of things. He made quite a study of it. And so I got apprised of the fact that there aren't going to be any thermostats in heaven, but we do have thermostats here at Skyland. Now, I want to start off with something, because several of you have asked me about something that apparently I didn't fully explain yesterday or left incomplete. And rather than telling 100 different people, I'd rather give it out now, and hopefully you can get it down. I purposely sometimes leave things confused or incomplete because I figure this will sell more tapes. And people say, did you understand what he was talking about? No. Well, let's get the set of tapes and we can listen to it. And the person will say, yes, the advantage of tapes is that you can turn them off when you want. When you're getting it live, you have to sit there and take it. But apparently it was confusing because I mentioned some lions and Trinity associated with lions, and so I'd like to start with that. And explain it. Several years ago here at Skyland, incidentally, somebody said we are making tapes of all the messages and we're making them for prosperity. And someone said, no, you don't mean prosperity. I mean, we're making them for posterity. And the fellow said, no, we're making them for prosperity. We hope to sell a bunch of them. So maybe this will sell an extra set of tapes or two. We were mentioning lions, and the Trinity is involved, apparently, in it. Let me start with Daniel in the lion's den. And you remember that Daniel explained to the king that the Lord had sent his angel. We believe this is the Lord Jesus Christ in the lion's den with Daniel. And Daniel said, then the angel of the Lord has shut the lion's mouth, and therefore they have not hurt me. Someone said also the reason they didn't eat Daniel was because he was all backbone. That's another interpretation of it. But anyway, there we have the Lord Jesus Christ in the context of lions with a believer. We have also, and we found Samson's name in the 11th chapter of Hebrews last night, we have also the fact that on his way to be engaged, Samson, of course, walking ahead of his parents, never seemed to walk with them, but walking ahead of his parents. And you read there in the life of Samson in Judges chapter 14 that a young lion jumped out of the bushes. And you read the Word of God there, the Holy Spirit came mightily upon Samson, and Samson just tore that beast apart with his bare hands. There you have another believer in the context of lions and under the ministry of the Holy Spirit for protection. And finally we have, you remember, David volunteering to fight Goliath, and Saul, King Saul, saying to David, there's no way you can fight the giant because you are but a lad. And this man has been a man of war since his very youth. And then, you remember, David gave the illustration. He said, I was keeping my father's sheep. Father there is one of the key words. I was keeping my father's sheep. And there came out a lion and a bear out of the woods and went off with one of the lambs. And God enabled me to slay both the bear and the lion and to deliver the lamb. Now, that's in the context, again, of a believer. And the lion, in that case, the father figure is the important one. So here we have three believers, all in the context of lions, and we have there the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each one in separate occasions, delivering the believer from the lion. So hopefully that has been explained. Now, I want us to look at 1 Kings chapter 17. We're continuing on. This is our third lesson then in the story or in the series of On the Other Hand, and we want to start out with 1 Kings 17. Very easy to find it. It comes right ahead of 2 Kings. 1 Kings 17. If you got the Cambridge Bible, it's on page 466. While you're looking in the index to find it, it used to be at Bible conferences, you'd be reading along your scripture lesson, and you get to a particular point, you hear a lot of because everybody had the Scofield Bible, and everybody get the bottom of the page at the same time. You get don't hear that anymore. Now we have a bunch of different kinds of translations, don't we? And I asked Tom Taylor one time. Tom, you know, before he retired, used to teach Hebrew, and he could teach Greek, so I figured he knew something about it. And I said, Tom, what do you think about the old King James Bible? He says, there's nothing better than that. And I said, good, because that's what I use. I haven't learned everything there is to learn in this one, so why buy a new Bible? And the second place, this one's almost paid for now, so I think I'm going to keep it for a while. He said, there's nothing better than the King James Bible. He says it's better than most. He said, there's some on the market today that shouldn't have been published at all. And I said, thank you. I've often suspected that, but I'm glad to get it from the voice of authority. 1 Kings chapter 17, just the first seven verses. 1 Kings 17, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Kereth, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he, Elijah, went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Kereth, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. We're introduced to Elijah here in the first verse of chapter 17. We don't know very much about him, except it says Elijah the Tishbite. And he had a message from the Lord to give unto Ahab, the one who had sold himself to do evil, the Bible says about Ahab. And he went and told Ahab this dire message, you see, that there's not going to be rain in the land for a while. Now, Elijah didn't make this up, and I want to point that out very strongly to you this morning hour. Because the Lord had already said this back in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 11, and verses 6 and 7, I believe. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 6 and 7. No, I missed that. 16 and 17. Deuteronomy 11, 16 and 17. This is what the Lord has said. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 16 and 17. So what Elijah is saying to King Ahab has already been pronounced by the Lord. Now I bring that out because that's what you and I can do today. Anything that the Lord has said, you can repeat. You can quote the Lord. And this is what we do when we talk to people about getting saved. We say, this is what the Lord says about getting saved. This is what the Lord says about having provided us with a Savior. This is what the Lord says about the necessity of being saved. And the Lord has already declared these things in the book. And you can quote the Lord. The problem is today in some evangelical circles is people are saying things about the Lord that the Lord himself didn't say. And that's dangerous, you see. Because anything that man makes up, man is going to have to change as the fashions and the fads go along. He's going to have to readjust his homemade theology and so forth. But you stick close to the book and you can tell people anything that God has already said. And that's just what Elijah's doing. It looks as if when you start out 1 Kings chapter 17, as if Elijah's a rather capricious person. He's rather arbitrary. Maybe he doesn't like these people, and so being of a negative personality, we might assume he doesn't like people, and so he says, you folks are really going to suffer the next few months, you see. But what Elijah's doing is remembering what God has already said, and that's what you and I do today. You can quote the Lord. But in order to quote the Lord, you have to know what the Lord has said. You have to be people of the book, as Larry reminded us yesterday. I think it was Larry or John Phillips or somebody. Somebody around here said that. But at any rate, this is what you can do. And you say, my brother, you know, the Lord has said. And then you quote what the Lord has said. Don't make it up, you see. And so Elijah's simply repeating what God has said, and that's what you and I do today. Now, so there's going to be a time of drought. And then in verse number 2, after Elijah's delivered his message, the Lord has a message for Elijah, a personal message, you see. He said, Elijah, I'm going to protect you through this time. I'm going to provide for you. Verse number 2, the word came to him. Verse number 3, this is what it said, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Kereth that is before Jordan. Now, Elijah is true to the word of the Lord. Elijah is true to the Lord. And he repeats to people who need to know the things that the Lord has said. Now, following that, you see, the Lord undertakes for Elijah. And this is the way it always works, dear friend. If you're true and faithful to the Lord will always be true and faithful to you. And so he says, now I want you to go hide yourself by the brook. Why? Because in verse number 1, you read this expression, Elijah says, before whom I stand. A time of seclusion, number 1, because of the proper relationship which Elijah has to his God, before whom I stand. It reminds you of the seraphim mentioned in Isaiah chapter number 6. They stand before the Lord, awaiting the Lord's bidding. The same sort of thing is mentioned here in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 1. The same thing is true over in the book of Jonah, when after Jonah is cast into the Mediterranean Sea, the word of the Lord is there that the sea ceased to raging. The storm just disappeared. And the word implies there in the original the fact that the Mediterranean Sea stood before the Lord as a servant awaiting what it is that the Lord, its creator, wanted it to do next. I said of the Mediterranean Sea, said of Elijah, you see, and before whom I stand. And that's the secret, you see, of why there's such a good and close relationship between Elijah and his God, because Elijah is a servant of the Lord. He says, he has redeemed me, I am his servant, you see, before him I stand. And the Lord will never fail a person like that. Last night we read over in Hebrews chapter 13, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I've already told some of you this, but there was a testimony meeting at one time, and a fellow over on this side of the auditorium stood up and he said, you know, I appreciate the fact that the Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And he sat down. A fellow over on this side of the auditorium stood up and said, you know, in the original, it's repeated 3 times, as if God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, each one of them is saying it. I will never, I will never, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And he sat down, and the fellow who stood up originally on this side stood up and said, listen, you theologians may have to have the Lord tell you something 3 times before you believe it, but I read it once and I believe it. And then everybody turned over here and the second fellow didn't stand up at all, you see. But you know, that's a wonderful promise. I will never, I will never, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee in your proper relationship to God. And bless your hearts, even when we are not in a proper relationship to God, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and correcteth every son whom he receiveth. Someone told me one time, I really didn't see the Lord clearly until he cleansed my eyes with tears. And then I beheld him, you see. Before whom I stand, the proper relationship. And also there has to be not only the proper relationship, but there has to be the proper obedience. I want to underscore some words here. The last word in verse number 4, T-H-E-R-E. The Lord says, it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. You notice commanded, it's in the past tense. Ravens already have their instruction, even before Elijah gets his instruction. I have commanded, past tense, the ravens to feed thee there. Where? By the brook Kereth. On the bank. In other words, the Lord is saying, the blessing of the Lord only falls in certain places, and if you're in the right place, you'll get the blessing of the Lord. If you say, Elijah, I don't like the brook Kereth, I'm going to camp on the shores of the Mediterranean, the Lord could have said to Elijah, you starve to death because the ravens are going to deliver the groceries elsewhere. And so not only is there a proper relationship, dear friends, but there has to be a proper obedience. The blessing of the Lord falls in certain places. The Lord, for instance, never blesses selfishness. Never blesses selfishness. Now, Larry's trying to get us to buy books. So far, the books that he has offered are very good books. But I am appalled sometimes when I go into a Christian bookstore to see how many evangelical books are me-centered. And I get the impression from looking at these titles in some of these books that God exists only for my benefit, that is, to be my celestial bellhop, if you will, or my eternal Santa Claus, as someone has said. Now, I want you to be aware of these things. Some of these have been written by evangelical authors. But so much of it, you come impressed with a person, with a human being who is involved, rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like some of our modern singing today. Some of the older folks down our way call them little ditties. Same thing over and over and over and over again. And then you pick up some of those good old worship hymns. Boy, aren't those words heavy? Mighty. There's impact in every one of those words, you see. And this is the sort of shallowness that is in much of evangelical Christianity today, you see, this sort of thing. Oh, I know, we have it down our way. Who's going to speak, you know? Well, what difference does it make who's going to speak? Well, if it's Brother Monotone's turn, I'm going to stay home, you see, and pray for my aunt out in Denver who has a fatal hangnail or some other sort of a thing, you see. Sometimes I say, well, we're not having one of the local brethren. We have a missionary, you know. The next question is, does he have pictures, you see? Does he have pictures? Why? What difference does that make? Well, it's a lot easier to see pictures than it is to have somebody give you an exegesis on the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, you see. And this pervades the evangelical world today, you see. And a lot of people don't receive the blessing that the Lord has for them because they're not in the right place. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And Elijah, if you want to get the blessing of the Lord, you have to be in the proper place, you see. You have to be where the blessing is going to be delivered. I've already commanded them to do this. Rather strange, you see. Ravens were an unclean bird. Out in, well, the early days of being in full-time Christian work, sometimes there wasn't anything in the house to eat, you see. And we lived in a fishing community, so sometimes I would try to forestall this time when there wouldn't be anything in the house to eat, and I'd go out and work on one of the cod fishing boats, just a little open boat, you know, and that's pretty rugged work. Out on the Atlantic Ocean in February, out there before dawn even, to get ready to try to catch some codfish. We had a hand line for these codfish, some of them weighing 35 pounds. And so I'd work for fish rather than for money. And so I'd save out two or three fish. And Captain Harry'd say, now, Elder, always call me Elder. He'd never remember my name, like the Skyland Conference, you know. But at any rate, always call me Elder. Always call me Elder. Now, save yourself out some of those nice codfish, you see. And when you get one you'd like to take home, throw it in the well of the boat, you see. So I'd save out two or three, not any of the 35-pounders. I felt that was a little bit too much, you know. But maybe some of the other ones. And then when there wasn't any food in the house to eat, I'd go down to the dock and I'd say, Captain Harry, I need one of my codfish. Okay, he says, pick out one according to the size of the ones you caught. There's two or three swimming around there in the well of the boat. And get yourself a codfish. And I'd go home. But sometimes I'd use up all the codfish that I'd worked for. And I couldn't go down and beg one from Captain Harry, so there wasn't anything in the house to eat. And there'd be a knock on the door. And I'd open the door and there'd be nobody there. And down on the concrete slab by the threshold, there'd be very often a pot of Boston baked beans, still bubbling in the juice, or a loaf of homemade bread, or sometimes a little sack of potatoes out of somebody's garden. And I'd look around the corner of the house, and there goes Ed down the driveway. Thanks, Ed! Ed wouldn't even turn around, just wave his hand. Ed was the local bartender, the village bartender, an unsaved man. Sometimes when I've told this story, you know, somebody's come up to me afterwards, and I tell you, I go off duty at 10 o'clock. Somebody had come up to me and said, if that man was unsaved, especially a bartender, you shouldn't have accepted food from him. And I'd always refer them to 1 Kings 17, you see. The Lord delivered groceries through an unclean creature, you see. I never told Ed I thought that of him, but at any rate, I figured I had good biblical ground, you see, because... But you know the thing that troubled me? If Ed, the unsaved local bartender, could be exercised to provide groceries for the preacher when the only time I remember him coming is when we didn't have groceries in the house, why couldn't the Holy Spirit exercise some of the Christians in the community to bring some groceries by? It was always the unclean creature, but I sure enjoyed what Ed provided, you see. And the Lord says to Elijah, there's a certain place where the blessing is going to be delivered. And if you're in the right place, you'll get the blessing of the Lord. If you're not in the right place, you're going to miss the whole thing. So you see, you have that, the last word in verse number 4. You have also in verse number 9 that we didn't read, belong to dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. 3 different times the Lord used the word T-H-E-R-E to give to Elijah, and it's always in the past tense. I have already commanded the widow woman to sustain thee there. And Elijah, if you're in the right place, 3 times over, you'll receive the blessing. If you decide to go off and follow your own will, you're going to miss the blessing. And that's as true in 1995 as it was when these words were written, you see. It's the proper obedience. The proper obedience. Over in the book of James, chapter number 5, of course we know that Elijah is used there for an illustration. And we find that Elijah was not a super saint at all. James chapter number 5, you see, and beginning with about verse 16. James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Then the statement, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now the Holy Spirit wants to illustrate that statement. Now who's going to use? Is he going to use Daniel, about whom I can find nothing negative said? And Daniel is going to remember that the Lord says, after a certain time, I'm going to release you from Babylon, and Daniel's going to pray about that, you see. Is he going to use Daniel? Is he going to use some other great prayer? No, he uses Elijah. He uses the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Whom shall I use to illustrate this? I'm going to use Elijah. So you read in verse 17, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. There were times when he got discouraged. We know that already. There were times when he felt misused, at least, and these sorts of things. He was a fellow who had these emotional ups and downs as we have emotional ups and downs. And yet the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that's an encouragement, dear friends. The Lord uses us sometimes not because of what we are, but in spite of what we are. And he mentions this, you see. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth, but by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And so this is what I call a common Elijah, common quotation marks, a man subject to like passions as we are. And yet he stood before the Lord. He went where the Lord told him to go. He had a perfect relationship with the Lord, or at least a good relationship. He had also the proper obedience to be where the blessing of the Lord was going to be delivered. And so we have this. Security despite desperate conditions. And so I think Elijah enjoyed this camping out. Most folks enjoy camping out. My wife and I don't camp out. Our idea of roughing it is turning off the electric blanket, which some of you have been tempted to bring into here. And you'd have as many extension cords run around there as you do up here. But at any rate, a lot of people like to camp out. We saw them on the interstate coming over here. When did we come? 2 or 3 weeks ago? Whenever it was. And we saw it, and a great big motor home went sailing past. I bet it cost more than my house cost, you see. And on the front was a motorbike. And on the top was a boat. An air conditioner sticking out all over the place. Great big dog in the back window, you see. And on behind this great big rolling palace, there was a tandem axle trailer. I think probably that's where the mother-in-law lives, you see. She was back there, you see. And it took a long time for this entourage to go by. And I made the remark, it used to be we went on vacation to get away from it all. Now we take it all with us, don't we? We take it all. Oh, I got to have my color TV. I got to have my air conditioning. Got to have my satellite dish antenna. I got to have this, that, and the other thing. But I think Elijah enjoyed camping out. No responsibilities. Didn't even have to take anything with him to eat. The Lord provided it with, you see. But the Lord gave Elijah responsibility. Listen, I'm not going to pour water down your throat. When you're thirsty, you drink. I'll provide the things that you can't provide, but the things that you can see to, I expect you to see to. And so he did. And so there he is camping out. But then, you notice in verse number 7, it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up rather naturally, you see. It's not a miraculous sort of a thing. It dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Well, if there's no rain in the mountains, pretty soon the streams down in the valley dry up. It's just a natural thing. It's just a logical thing. It's reasonable, you see. And I'm glad that it's in the book because, you know, sometimes as we grow older, we begin to complain that we can't do things that we used to do 30 years ago. The brook has a way of drying up, you know. This past winter, I had the funeral service in Florida of a fellow who had married into our family, and he was almost 90, you see, and he dearly needed hearing aids. And you know, he got so he couldn't even hear me preach. And if you can't hear me preach, you really are in bad shape, you see. And the family tried to encourage, at least just go and get your ears tested, you know. No, he said, nothing wrong with my hearing. My hearing is as good as when I was a young man of 21, he said. He said, people mumble more now than they used to, you see. Not his fault, it's our fault, you see. And some Christians go down into the slough of despond because they can't do the effective work for the Lord that they used to do. And they get discouraged. I'm no good anymore. Why doesn't the Lord take me home? The brook is drying up. But it's a natural thing. The Lord only made us out of dust to begin with, didn't he? And we were raised from dust and we returned to dust. At least our bodies returned to dust again. And someone told me recently, if only the Lord had made us out of platinum powder or something. Boy, wouldn't we be wonderful? But we can live to be 80, 90, 100 years of age and only made out of dust to begin with. But friends, as the years go along and you find that you can't do the things for the Lord that you used to do, don't despair, because the Lord will give you a different ministry. And as long as you are on the face of this earth, there's something that you can do for God. Don't despair that you can't do the things that you used to do. The brook is drying up, but it's a natural sort of a thing, you see. Because this didn't happen, this is not going to happen, and this is not going to happen. But the Lord is more than sufficient. He just moves Elijah along. Time of seclusion, verse number 3. Now, here's where our theme title fits in. On the other hand, I want you to jump from 1 Kings 17 to 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18, verse number 1. It came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Now, these are the two phrases I want you to somehow connect together. If you can do it by memory, well and good. If you have to underline it in some kind of yellow pencil or draw arrows or whatever, but I want you to link these two from chapter 17, verse 3, where it says, hide thyself, to chapter 18, verse number 1, where it says, show thyself. Now, you ought never to divorce those two, because these are two experiences of the Christian life. Sometimes the Lord will say, hide thyself. You need to get quiet before the Lord. We call it our quiet time, or our time of seclusion, or our time of getting into our prayer closet, or whatever terminology you want. You've got to have a quiet time with the Lord when no one else, not even your spouse, can enter into it. That's the time of hiding yourself and being refreshed by the Lord. But then you come over into chapter 18. On the other hand, there are times when the Lord says, now I want you to show yourself in some sort of act of ministry. And you've got to have both of those things in your life. If you only have chapter 17 and hide yourself all the time, you're going to become a religious hermit and not be any good to anybody. And if you're always in chapter number 18, always running around doing things, pretty soon you're going to run yourself into a frazzle and maybe into a nervous breakdown, and you're not going to be good to anybody in that way. So there has to be the proper balance between 17 and 18. On the other hand, hide thyself, or on the other hand, show thyself. These two things are necessary. Elijah had to learn a lot of these things. He goes to stay with a widow, you see, there in Zarephath. And he's going to have to make a recognition that sometimes the brook begins to dry up. He's going to have to see the recognition there of God that can supply unending groceries, as he did with the ravens. Unending groceries, you see. That barrel of meal is never going to fail, and the cruse of oil is never going to fail. And finally, you see, the culmination of the whole thing is the boy in the house is going to die. And by the power of God, you see, Elijah's going to raise that young corpse back to life again. And then the chapter 18 closes out, or chapter 17 closes out by saying, the woman said to Elijah, now by this, the resurrection of her son, I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. But lady, for all these months we've been eating out of a barrel of meal that was never exhausted. I know that. We were using that cruse of oil that never failed. I know that. But the thing that convinced me was that God can give life. And that's what she says in the last verse of that 17th chapter. And so, a time of service. Elijah had to learn certain things. The necessity of service in these sorts of things, you see. the refreshment for service. Now, I have that over in John chapter 10, where the Lord speaks about the shepherd and the sheep and so forth. John chapter number 10, verse number 9. John chapter 10 and verse number 9. The Lord says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Thank the Lord for that. And shall go what? In and out and find pasture. I think that's what we're talking about here in 1 Kings 17 and 18. There are times when you are quiet, alone with God, and you need to be. These are times when you get your spiritual battery recharged. When you're with the Lord alone and nobody else can intrude upon, not even the dearest one on earth that you love apart from the Lord Jesus. There has to be that quiet time with the Lord, or you're going to begin to lose sight of the things that are very important, you see. But then there's also those times of service when you go out and you use the power that's been stored in this battery, you see, and you begin to work for the Lord. And so on one hand, you see, there's a quiet time with the Lord, and on the other time, there's that time of service when you go forth. And there has to be this proper balance. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And the quietness, you see, of the sheepfold. But then also to go out and to produce something for the shepherd as the sheep are required to do. Same thing you have there in John chapter 10 as you have in 1 Kings 17 and 18. The refreshment for service, these sorts of things. Well, let me close with this because it is a joyous message. 1 Kings chapter 18 verse 1. Came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab and I will send rain upon the earth. That's the blessing, you see, of Christian service, is because you can give hope to people. I find so many people today who feel as if no one loves them anymore. You know, there's almost 6 billion of us now in the world. And someone said somewhere in the world today, a woman gives birth to a baby about every eight seconds. And someone said, we better find her and tell her to stop, you see. Missed the point of the whole thing. But there's a bunch of us around. And sometimes I think this is what triggers these berserk shootings where somebody takes an automatic pistol or rifle and just begins to shoot people. They don't know any of these people and they just begin, people feel crowded in upon these days. And you talk to people, I think more now than ever before, people say, nobody loves me anymore. Nobody cares. I could die on the spot. Nobody would notice. I said, well, we notice after a while that you had died, but anyway, they worry about these things. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have a joyous message, dear friend. You've been alone with the Lord in the 17th chapter. Now the Lord sends you out in the 18th chapter to be a help to people. And you can say, the Word of God says, whosoever will may come. And you bring a little Sunday school kid in here and you say, whosoever? And she says, well, that's anybody. That's anybody, you see. Now we try to restrict that in some thinking today, but the word whosoever in my book is still the word whosoever. Whosoever will. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Have the person take out the world, put in their own personal name, and it'll fit, and you won't do any damage to Scripture at all. And the person said, there is somebody that loves you, you see. And Elijah was sent forth with a joyous message. The famine is about to be over, and the drought is about to be over, and he was sent out with a joyous message. Why? Because he had quiet time with God, and because God had reinstituted him, you see, for service. Now he said, go show thyself and go to Ahab and tell him that you've got good news for him. And that's the ministry, you see, of the Christians today. That's missionary work. That's evangelistic work, you see. We have the good news. The good news. The gospel, which is the good news. Well, we'll bow together now in a word of prayer, and Troy will come and lead us in a hymn, and then whatever, and then the service will be over. Our Father, again, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Father, that you declare about it that heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word shall never pass away. We thank you, Father, we can trust it. We thank you we can trust the written word, and we thank you, Father, we can trust the living word, the Lord Jesus. Now, Father, encourage our hearts today. Bless us, Father, we pray thee in all the furthered activities, and once again we pray that in all things the Lord Jesus Christ himself might have the preeminence. Protect us, Father, from any harm and danger, and cause us to continue to rejoice in all the goodness of thyself to us. We thank you, Father, for your constancy and your consistency. And, Father, we pray that you might bless in all these things. We pray, Father, by the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, that he might continue to bless our hearts, for we pray it all in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.